Someone should axe the Murrican sheeple and maybe even the people of Londonistan the question. You now have evidence that multiculturalism is lethal. It's deadly. It's diabolically inspired, especially of the Arabic and Muslim variety. Given the evidence that you now have, how does one go in front of television cameras and say, and we're going to have to change course, because what we're doing here is apparently not working to the benefit of the citizens of which we are charged with their protection and their safety and their livelihoods. And therefore, we're going to have to alter course. Okay, what does the course alteration look like? If it's anything like the course alteration that we've seen here in America, what does that entail? Well, that means you turn the Spyfair state loose on the rest of us. And pay no attention to those bearded men over there waving a flag of ISIS in the middle of a park being filmed by a television station that just happened to air the film a year ago. I don't pay any attention to that. They're harmless. What you need to be concerned about, there are people right now on Facebook exchanging messages, and we're looking for code words in those messages, and we find some too. That's what you need to be worried about. Now, explained another way, there are a couple of things that ought to give rise to an end to the flirtation with Islam. You can't immigrate it into your midst. It just can't help itself. Since the 7th century, it's done the same thing over and over and over again. It's going to do the same thing over and over and over again. As a matter of fact, I was looking at maps last night of what Christendom used to look like. And there's a website I found, and the guy made an animation. And the animation showed that from the time of Christ all the way up until the 7th century, you could see that Christianity expanded, and the territory claimed as Christendom expanded to the west, which pretty much stopped at Persia, but it made it that far west. It expanded south and to the entire part of Africa that is north of the Sahara Desert. It expanded all throughout the European continent, all the way up into the Scandinavian countries of Finland and Norway and Sweden and all those countries. It expanded to England. Of course, we know it went all the way to Ireland. And then what happened? Well, Mammon got angry. Satan, Lucifer, Baal, whatever you want to call, whichever one is ruling today, got angry, said enough is enough. We're going to create our own religion. We're going to take your Christianity, we're going to make it ours. Ooh, and you're not going to like it. We got this, have you seen the movie Idiocracy? We got this guy not sure. Well, Satan went, we got this guy Muhammad. This guy will rape children. He'll have affairs or relations with the dead. He'll have 12, 13 wives, and if he doesn't like one of them, he'll accuse them of something, and he'll kill them. And when he needs to fund his diabolical operation, and people don't donate enough or bring enough or give enough, we go on a caravan raid, and hey, llama, hey, you actually are on a llama. Yeah, I'll have all that. Give me that. Yeah, no, I'm going to kill you now. And then the whole process gets reversed. All that was red for Christ on this map that I saw starts turning green. Green for Islam. And remains mostly green today. But there was one bulwark, if you will. One rampart that Muhammad never breached. Couldn't breach it. Tried to breach it. His heirs for 1,000 years tried to breach it. What was it? The countries, the kingdoms of Christendom. He's never able to breach it. And it was not for lack of trying. And for 1,200 hundred for the first 1,000 years, the assault was never ending. The Battle of Lepanto ended much of the major attempts to take Europe. But it didn't burn itself out until the Ottoman Empire collapsed right before the start of World War I, finally. It's back, and it's back with a vengeance. Now, the former countries of Christendom are no longer Christian. What force is it that's going to be brought to bear to repel the Mohammedan hordes that have already been admitted into the country? See, this is where the where Megan Oprah, I think, nails this point here. And this is a question that we ought to be having a full-scale conversation with about in all Western countries and all Western civilization. She writes it like this: as if on cue, in the wake of Saturday's terrorist attack in London, political leaders are trotting out the usual trendy, treacly lines that have become so rote. In other words, habit, habitual. But the words they pretend will provide comfort to anyone but the most naive are borderline worthless. Worse, they're an insult to the families who have had to experience the shocking pain of the sudden loss of a family member or friend at the hands of a terrorist. Sadiq Khan, the mayor of London, called Saturday's attack deliberate and cowardly and asked all Londoners to remain calm, kind of like Kevin Bacon in Animal House. Remain calm, all is well. Of course, he gets trampled to death. To remain calm and vigilant today and in the days ahead. Most notably, he said, quote, you will see an increased police presence today, including armed officers and uniformed officers. There's no reason to be alarmed by this. We are the safest global city in the world, close quote. What a thing to say at a time like this. Shouldn't Britons be alarmed? Isn't Saturday's attack in London coming as it did on the heels of the Manchester bombing deeply disturbing? Why isn't Khan more concerned about the threats that are so obviously at the doorstep, or better put, in Britain's streets? Does anyone really take comfort from being told about swift police response times after yet another terrorist attack? The fact of the matter is that the politicians, the political elite ruling master class that orchestrated all this to save the welfare state, can't handle the truth. You know what's really disturbing about this, folks? What's really disturbing about this is that the people that brought all this about, they really didn't see the difference between Christianity and Islam. That's the real disturbing part. Now, I got to ask a question. Who has pointed that out to you? These people are actual apostates. They remain apostates today. They still don't think there's any difference. When you hear Theresa May or whoever dash out to the dais, we're not going to let them storm our values. We're not going to let them take our values. We're not going to let them force us to stop practicing our values. We know we can live in a multicultural, pluralistic society. Multicultural, pluralistic, by definition, says all religions, even if it's a cult and not a religion, and Islam is a cult, it's not a religion, are equal. They're equal. They are all equal. Now, you got to ask yourself the question, are you willing to stand in front of the judgment seat and repeat that? I can bloviate on from now to the end of the program about this, but it really boils down to that question. Simply put, are you willing to take the chance you're going to stand in front of the judgment seat of Almighty God, watching your film of Mitter John Crusade? No, this is your life. Are you really going to stand in the judgment seat and stand by that? All religions are equal. That means that Buddha is just as cool, hip, and happening as Jesus is. That means that Vishnu, or whoever the insert god of this religion here is equal to the Holy Trinity. You know what? I tend to think that the Holy Trinity might not like that very much. They might kind of be opposed to them. Hey, sinner, how about a little credit over here? That's what it boils down to. It doesn't need to be or have to be any more complex or complicated than that. I'm going to come, again, I'm going to circle the wagons. I'm going to come back because I want to get to a few more headlines. Headline. Pediatrician holds party to celebrate Planned Parenthood. Abortion is essential for our children. This is a woman who cares for children. She is Dr. Rachel Berger, a physician, or an alleged physician, at the Children's Hospital of Pittsburgh, at the University of Pittsburgh Medical Center, hosted a party for Planned Parenthood at her home last Saturday. This is reprehensible, folks. Diabolical. Headline. Department of Justice just charged a federal contractor with illegally leaking top secret information. This is the woman who is on record now. I think there's a YouTube video or something out there saying that President Trump is a piece of something to that effect. Let's see here. The U.S. Department of Injustice on Monday charged Reality Lee. Is that really her name? Reality? Have you ever met anyone named Reality? Is there a alternative reality? Reality Lee Winner, who's not a winner, by the way, a 25-year-old federal contractor, in other words, a parasite, based in Augusta, Georgia, with illegally handing and leaking top-secret national security information to the news media. Winner was an employee of Pluribus International, a contractor with a presence at Fort Gordon in Augusta, the site of a large national security agency facility. Mitter Junkbond, what can you tell us about that facility? Winner was arrested by the FBI at her home on Saturday, June the 3rd, and appeared in federal court in Augusta yesterday afternoon. The DOJ confirmed in a press release. According to a criminal affidavit signed by the Federal Bureau of Investigation, Special Agent Justin C. Garrick, Winner allegedly accessed the top secret information after it was published by the federal government. On the May the 5th, 2017, on May 9th, Winner printed the info and removed it from the government facility and mailed it several days later to an online news outlet. The intelligence reporting is classified at the top secret level, indicating that its unauthorized disclosure could reasonably result in exceptionally grave damage to the national security.